hard to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go hard and just dig deep inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive, just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle Hunter, and once again, I'd like to welcome you back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and as always, this is high-level conversation where we just bring on the best, most phenomenal, and talented guests in their respective industries. And today, we have a very, very special, dynamic individual. She is an entrepreneur, businesswoman. She's written a phenomenal book. She is a owner of her own company, and she is none other than Connie Steele. Connie, how's it going?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Definitely, Dan. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. You know, this podcast, like, we focus on just motivational topics, motivational leaders in their respective fields. So I'm pretty sure that the listeners can definitely gain a lot of insight from this interview today. So once again, thank you for joining us.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak with your audience and want to deliver value in any way I can.
Yeah, definitely. So to start off, you know, I always say a lot of times people don't know necessarily where they're going unless they know where they came from. So can you just kind of talk about your beginnings and like your formative years, like what that looked like and pretty much just growing up for you?
Sure. So I'm a child of immigrant parents, first generation Chinese American. I grew up outside of Boston, then lived in the Washington, D.C. metro area from the age of 9 on. The environment that I grew up in was one where academic excellence was a focus because that was a reflection of my parents' success in this country. And in this case, it was mathematical sciences, not the kind of like true to stereotype. But ironically, it wasn't necessarily a strong suit of mine. And I always kind of knew I didn't exactly fit the mold because I personally wasn't solely focused on academics. I had a broad range of interests, played a lot of sports, was quite creative. But, you know, in the environment that I was in, success was more narrowly defined. It was always about, you know, getting those best grades. And ultimately, I never really felt good enough, which many people may relate to. I did well, but I wasn't the straight A student, top of the class, math genius moniker that my parents could brag about. And, you know, because there were constant mentions of other friends' kids or friends of friends' kids conveying their academic prowess and excellence, it made me feel honestly somewhat less than. And so this pressure to perform was always on. And so, but regardless, I guess I knew that I wanted to be defined by something more. I didn't know what it was at the time. And I guess I always somewhat felt underestimated. So like a lot of us who might have that chip on our shoulder, but we just don't know it at the time when we're young. I think that helped me through those subsequent formative years where it was about me trying to define who I was, what I could be good at, not based on what, you know, the norms were for my parents, but really what I wanted for me. And the way I wanted to do it in school and in work and in life. And in short, it's been this continuous test, learn, and iterate approach that I've pursued throughout my career. And that only really kind of came about with 2020 Insight probably over the past couple of years.
Wow, that's dynamic. And I wanted to ask you something, because you know that you bring up a great point when you talk about kind of like necessarily blazing your own trail. How did your parents receive that? You know, because we know parents have expectations of what they want, but how was that received? Like, you know, you're like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to blaze my own trail.
You know, I know they have always been proud, but it's the way that they expressed it where I couldn't interpret that because it was very much this very linear evaluation of my performance. So in college, you know, when I decided I got to figure out how to be successful my own way, and then when I started to excel academically and feel actually fulfilled holistically, they're like, wow, actually, you're quite smart. Which I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of a backhanded compliment, but okay. I knew what they meant, but it really didn't come across in the way that I was hoping it would come across. But it's also sort of a cultural thing too. And as I continue to try to figure out, well, where is it that I want to go and dictate my own path? I was finding that success and they were proud of me because they could see the progression, but it wasn't something they could plan for me because, again, they didn't grow up in this country. They just knew that if you did well in school, it leads to opportunities. They couldn't tell me exactly where to go. And I chose business. They didn't have that background. So much of this, I had to figure out on my own. And they saw me chart out that path. I set goals. I achieved them. And so, you know, they were supportive along the way, but honestly couldn't quite understand it. I think they saw that if I was moving forward in a way that seemed like I was happy, was also providing some financial stability, they're like, okay, yeah, you're doing pretty well. You're working for some interesting companies that we can recognize fundamentally. And frankly, we can also tell our friends about, like working at AOL and General Mills, like, oh yeah, we understand that. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I charted my own course and left to do my own thing, funny enough, they were very supportive. I didn't expect that. They knew how challenging it was in that role that I had as a head of marketing in a pretty challenging environment. Like, you know, you need to do what's best for you and your family. So I think they evolved along with me.
That's awesome. That's great. That's phenomenal to hear. Well, I mean, you definitely evolved because, you know, that's a great segue because I know that you're doing your thing in the podcast space. So that leads me into my next question is, you know, how did you get your start in the podcast space? And it'd be great if you could just kind of share those milestones, how you progress within that industry.
Absolutely. So I got into podcasting 4 years ago, and it was a way to create thought leadership content for the consulting business that I have. I do marketing strategy, and I knew content was important, just like all marketers know that content's important. But at the time, I was thinking about what way could I do that. Many people were thinking, well, blogs. I didn't think that would be the most authentic way to deliver insights. Because candidly, I wasn't reading other people's blogs, other friends' blogs, and thinking, well, why would they read mine? You know, what I really thought could be valuable is getting perspectives from thought leaders. Mm-hmm. Kind of like talking to you on my podcast.
Right.
And seeing and understanding their journey, learning how they broke through those challenges, and fundamentally understanding how they were able to create that momentum. And I thought, well, wait, you know what? I started my career in marketing research. While I shifted into marketing and strategy, I never left those roots. I always wanted to understand the why. And so, like, wait a second. I have this skill. Podcasting is about interviewing people. I love doing it. Let me give it a try. Candidly, it was just, why not? Because I also knew it would be an incredibly efficient way to create content. So that began the journey. It was just truly just testing, mapping it out, seeing how it tied to my brand, interviewing friends initially who were in executive positions, applying all the skills that I had, and then seeing these common stories come through and really valuable insights. And along the way, learned and pivoted and tried different things. Because the one thing that's wonderful about podcasts is that there isn't necessarily a right or wrong way to do it. I mean, probably more so now than before, but it's completely a white space. And so you just need to figure out what works best for you based on the audience that you're going after. And meeting people along the way who give some valuable advice was part of it too. And that helped me build.
Wow. Well, I mean, the proof is in the pudding because your podcast is phenomenal. So, you know, I can definitely tell that you put the work in with that. So, you know, and that leads me into another segue because I know that you're a co-founder. So what types of obstacles could you share with us that along the way, those challenges that you had to overcome, you know, and how were you able to overcome those challenges?
Those challenges, I guess, have been ones where it's something interestingly that all of us are dealing with in our careers. And if we're an entrepreneur, we're building a business, which is defining our value, defining what we're about, what our value and how we can best serve. we know when we have this desire to start a business that we've got these different skills, we've done these different services, but how do you best position yourself in the midst of offerings that are out there such that you can stand out in a way that is really authentic, for lack of a better term. But people can see through things that are vaporware today. And so for me and my husband, it was getting that exercise of really figuring out what uniquely differentiates us and where can we support people in the best ways that we can, because what I do and what he does is different. So it wasn't very specific and narrow, it was broad. So it's that homework, it's that detailed business analysis that you do on yourself. It's easy to do for other people, it's hard to do for yourself. And asking other folks to provide that feedback, positive or negative, to then know how to establish that approach to communicate, you know, what you're about, and then building a roadmap to connect with people who could benefit from those services. And that's never easy, I think, for anybody, because if you're maybe not even an entrepreneur, you're just trying to find the right next opportunity in your career, you have to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, that's a great point. It's like that's common across the board. If you're an entrepreneur, business owner, whatever it is that you're doing, that's something common that you have to overcome, you know? So, I mean, that's great. I mean, you nailed it. You definitely nailed it with that one. Another question that I had for you with the Strategic Momentum podcast, because it's an amazing podcast. I love it. It's just phenomenal. It's great. The content is amazing. It's next level. So within the podcast space, can you discuss some of the topics or guests that you're extremely or like the most proud of that like really stood out to you? Like, you know, that you said, wow, when you listen back to it, this was a great, great podcast.
There are multiple. So that question's a tough one only because I have learned so much from each and every person because it's given me a different perspective to think about work, think about career and how to make all of us better, which is why I spend so much time on it. But if I had to pick a few, one is, his name's Mehtab Bagal, and he's a co-founder of a private equity firm called Carta Ventures. And he's in his late 20s, but he started his career making $500,000 on Facebook all before he was 22. And he had to find a different way to work because when he was a teenager, he had a degenerative disc disease where he couldn't do a traditional job. Mm. And he also left school too to try to find just a different way that would fit him. And so he had this just really entrepreneurial sort of mindset, kind of like called the millennial mindset. And he tested and learned and successfully launched and scaled several bootstrap direct-to-consumer brands with over seven figures within 12 months. And
wow.
I was just amazed at how he went about doing it on Facebook and just went for it, honestly. And then when he built his private equity firm, he met his partner online. Hadn't met, but they talked for 3 hours, and Mehtab is in Canada. His partner, they started with, now they're a larger company, but he was in Utah, and they connected online. I think they talked for 3 hours. We're like, let's start a private equity firm. And they've been incredibly successful in building this firm. And they have taken distressed companies and turned them around completely and restructured them. But it's amazing in the way that they looked at approaching business fundamentally differently. Mm-hmm. And it was all about starting small, experimenting, trying to figure out where they could find fit, which is different than the very traditional way many businesses work. And so I was just inspired by that. But I think inspired, but it's kind of the like, let's go for it. Why not? We don't have much to lose. And that was actually a recurring pattern with some of these other guests that I had. Another one was Jenny Blake. So she's a career and business strategist. She's a speaker and an author of this book called Pivot. The Only Move That Matters Is Your Next One. And she had lots of different shifts in her career where she was in school, worked for a startup, learned a lot, but was trying to figure out what to do. She ended up also then working at Google, had this great career, but she didn't feel fulfilled. And so she decided to do something different. And, you know, she wrote about her experiences, had a great selling book right after college, but all of these experiences she had made her realize, wait, there is actually a process to creating these different pivots in your life to try to align who you are, what you want to do, and why. And I think we're all in this age that work is different now. It's not necessarily this linear path that people take, right? A lot of people want to find those things that make them happy. And here's this woman who did just that, but wrote about an approach to do so. And she got me inspired because I knew there was something happening, which she was somewhat of a catalyst also for me to think about, God, I need to get my book out ultimately, which was also kind of talking about those twists and turns too.
Wow. That's it's all amazing, but, you know, to hear about the degenerative disc disease that he had and, you know, how he was able to still succeed with that, you know, to me, that's amazing. That's amazing because, you know, it's like you don't look at your loss as a setback. You know, you just look at it as a way to come back. So the fact that he was able to do that, that's amazing. That's amazing. So yeah, that's awesome. Wow. Let's see, what else did I have that? Well, I had a couple more things for you, Connie. Because, you know, we could go at this all day. But
absolutely. Well, you know, I have to tell you, like, there are some people where, and I have to just share this one more story, just because I think this would just be valuable for anyone. His name is Michael Wilkinson, and he's probably been one of my favorite guests because, one, part of his story, but two, what he does. So he is the founder and managing director of Leadership Strategies. It's his number one facilitation training company in the U.S., and he's also written a lot of books on facilitation. And I think when most people think about facilitation, like, what's that? Like, that's just kind of setting up a meeting, right? Like, it doesn't sound interesting at all. But what he actually espouses is something so much more than that. When you think of facilitation, it's about how do you deal with people. But his story, he grew up in DC without really many of the privileges and opportunities that many have. And he has this quote, he goes, there's an old joke that we were so poor, the roaches ate up all of our food. You know? Oh, so when he God. Said, and in my family that we were so poor, we didn't have any roaches. So he kind of shares that.
Roaches was like, we ain't messing with y'all.
But you know, the thing is, he transcended, and then he ended up having an opportunity eventually to go to an Ivy League university. There were just some interesting twists and turns along his path that he ended up going to Dartmouth and, you know, being able to enter into that corporate world. But he knew there was a higher calling, as he calls it. You know, he had this higher ministry, and eventually he found it through facilitation because it was just something that he was just naturally doing based on the experiences that he had. So it was this, again, really interesting accumulation of skills and experiences of how he applied that to building his own business to really help understand people and how to manage and communicate with people in a way that eliminates conflict, gets to outcomes, deals with managing the politics. But it was just this higher order understanding of truly how to support and deal with people. Mm-hmm. And to know that, you know, he came from this background where he didn't have much, but he built this all along the way and now is applying this thinking, this system where he is truly helping others versus taking the corporate path where he could have been a partner in Ernst & Young, but he's like, nope, I have this opportunity to make this calling my business. I'm going to do that. And that's also what's so inspirational is seeing just a different way to do things.
Yeah, no, definitely. Wow. That's dynamic. That is dynamic. Wow. Well, let's see another, because that's a segue here. Because for the podcasters that are listening to this, you know, because there's a lot of people now, podcasting has, I feel like it's become very commercialized. Everybody wants to have a podcast, right?
Yes.
It's like, you know, everybody, you know, you go to somebody's house, their grandmother got a podcast, their dog got a podcast, fish got a podcast, everybody got a podcast now. So my question is, because, you know, you're successful in the podcast space. So anyone that is trying to get into podcasting, right, at this point, if you could give them a gem, if you could give them a piece of advice that they could take it and run with it, what would be the best advice that you think you would give someone that's trying to start a podcast?
Remember, it's not about the downloads. It's about sharing your message in through the content and a breadth of format so you can be discoverable. Mm-hmm. It's if you focus so much about how many listeners I have such that I can be the next podcast star, then you're missing out on, to me, the real power of using that podcast form, because I've always looked at it as a really efficient way to capture that authentic voice in one kind of format, but then being able to repurpose it and share it in so many different ways, in whatever ways people consume content across the board. Because, you know, once you record that, you can cut those things up and you can capture those amazing quotes that somebody has and share it on social, or even in copy, those quotes that they have and share it that way, or just share the notes. But I've always seen it as a great way to, as I call it, kind of record once, syndicate many. Because if you're focused on the message and the value you can deliver, podcasting can be an incredibly efficient way to get it out there, because it's hard to create content. And people are absorbing information so many different ways. It lets you be out there in every possible way.
Yeah. That's amazing. And like you said, don't focus on the wrong things. You know, it's like you said, don't focus on the listeners. Don't focus on the downloads. Just focus on getting the great content out there. And that'll speak volume for itself. It's like I tell musicians all the time, a lot of times they'll get caught up in, oh, you know, I don't have radio play. Like, I'm not on the radio. It's like, don't worry about that. You know, like, you'll get the audience. The audience will come. Just focus on making the great content first. You know, that's where you start. So you start with the ingredients. So, you know, that's a fact.
Totally agree. Let me add in one more point. I think a lot of folks assume that the more they produce, the better off they'll be. So it's, oh, I need to get as many podcast episodes as quickly as possible. And so it's so easy to record it, slap a, you know, front end to it, an intro, slap an outro to it, publish it without really listening to the quality of it. Because we all know that we've listened to podcasts and sampling it, and the audio doesn't sound so good, or the dialogue is a bit meandering. Mm-hmm. And there's 2 million out there now. So you have so many choices. And if it isn't something that captures the listener's attention from the beginning, many times you might have lost your shot.
Yeah.
Because there are so many choices.
It's true. It's true. Focus on quality. Quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. I tell people that all the time. You know, focus on what's good, you know. So that's a fact. One thing I wanted to ask you too, Connie. So I ask every guest that comes on the show, what is your mantra? For me personally, mine has always been persistence, wisdom, resistance. Like, that's my mantra. So I don't view things as a problem. I view them as an opportunity, right? So, and I don't view losses as losses. I just view it as learning. Like, this is just how I've lived my life. So what is a mantra that Connie still lives by?
It's probably about, I'm personally in a constant beta state to be my best self, whatever that may be. And that beta state just means that you're constantly growing, you're learning. Because it'll never be perfect. It will change based on where you are. And the reason why too is that we always want to do multiple things. There's always an inherent need to satisfy and fulfill different facets that make you you and make yourself better, whatever that is. So I'd say that's it. It's, for me, being in a constant beta state. I am in a constant beta state to be my best self.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, be the best you, right? Be the best you. Wow. That, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Makes sense, right? Better version of yourself. So constantly evolve. Right.
Absolutely. It is that constant evolution. And, you know, I talk about this with others that we're now products and services on the web, right? Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And whatever that may be at one stage of our life will be different next year, the year after. So you want to be able to express that too. And so who are you as that brand, as that product, as that service? What do you want to showcase to the world? And be okay with it being an ongoing evolution. Because if you stay fixed, you're not going to grow.
That's true. That's true. If you're not, you know, they always told me in business, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yes.
So, you know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to die. We want to live. I'm trying to live here. So, okay. Constant growth. That is the key. That
yes.
Is. So, I agree 110% with that. 110% with that. Yes. Yes. I, you know, another question that I have for you, Connie, regarding the podcast space.
Yeah.
A question that I had about that was, if you had the power to change one thing about the podcast space, the podcast industry, what would that be and why?
So that's a tough question, in that, you know, when I was in thinking about what you were asking me, you know, the amazing benefit of podcasting is that it provides the opportunity for people to share really valuable information about a topic that can be incredibly niche. Actually, I was at a conference a couple of years ago where I remember talking to somebody, or she was standing up and saying, I have a podcast on witchcraft. I'm like, really? I had no idea something like that was out there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
But anything and everything can be out there.
That's a lid for every pot, right?
Exactly.
A lid for every pot.
But one of the downsides with the sort of impending evolution of it, podcasting is a really easy platform for people to publish whatever content, right?
Mm-hmm.
Publish whatever information. I think the challenge, though, is this growing misinformation that you could put whatever you want. And maybe that information isn't necessarily reflective of necessarily the truth. And we're dealing with a media landscape now that has a growing amount of misinformation, and that could lead people to having a perspective that maybe not always as balanced. And it kind of continues to create an echo chamber of people wanting to only consume what they believe, or what they think they believe, or what others will push them to believe, versus expanding thinking, expanding knowledge of other perspectives so that people can come to the middle, versus potentially people being pulled in opposite directions. So it's hard for me to say, how would I change it? Because it comes down to then managing content misinformation and policies around it. And it's complicated. It becomes pretty complicated. But you just see the unfortunate challenges today on a broader scale with media and individuals choosing to want to only listen to what they want to listen to, and even creating maybe a deeper fragmentation among people.
I agree with that. And, you know, kind of to piggyback off of what you said, I feel like personally, like, it's great with the podcast space because a lot of people have voices. But the problem is sometimes it's like the Wild Wild West, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, you've got so many podcasts and it's like, it's just so much content out there. So, you know, I guess that component of it, but there's really no way to regulate that, because I mean, if someone just wants to start a podcast, they can, you know. So I think, you know, that's a component that can get a little dicey sometimes. But it is what it is. I always feel that the cream will eventually rise to the top. So regardless of how many people in the space, and like I always tell musicians, you know, don't worry about what other people are doing. It's like a horse. Keep your blinders on, you know, just stay focused on your goal. Like, you know, at the racetrack, the horses have on blinders for a reason. They don't got to look to the left or to the right. Stay focused on your goal, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah. So that's definitely a big point right there. I had two more questions for you. The last one was
all great questions too.
Yep. This one is like the movie Back to the Future, where, ooh, you know, Michael J. Fox, he goes back in time, right? So it's Back to the Future featuring Connie Steele right now. So if you can go back in time, right, to a younger you and give yourself some advice, what would you tell yourself?
I'd say realize those perceived failures that you had early on in your career, whatever you did, or what made you who you are. They're actually good things that happen, because only by messing up, you wouldn't have known how to improve. You wouldn't have known how to learn what you like, what you didn't like. At that time, I didn't know. At that time, it was an environment that you couldn't mess up. You really had to think about everything, and you got punished if you messed up. Now it's very different, where failing forward is acceptable, but certainly really hard on myself. Thought, you know, the world was over at times, because when we're all young, you know, we don't really know. But I'd say it's that, and also probably don't be afraid to just reach out to people you don't even know to try to ask for help or their perspective or guidance, because you don't know what kind of relationship that may spawn.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. That's, you know, and one thing I love too is I tell people collaboration is greater than competition. So to your point, don't be afraid or timid to reach out to other people and ask questions, because knowledge is power. So, you know, to collaborate, learn, like that's a great point. That's really a great point.
I think that's hard for a lot of people, because you don't want to come across as you're sounding stupid, or, you know, you don't want to sound like you don't know something. I mean, there's just this general fear, right? You're like, oh my God, am I gonna look like an idiot or something if you reach out? And and you realize, well, no, you know, if you're doing it in an authentic way, that's really about leveraging their insight, but you also helping them in return. There's a lot of power in that. And I've seen that happen with others and the people that I've interviewed. That's inspired me, candidly, because it was something that I was always fearful of. And I see these amazing things that they did, because they were very mission driven in what they were pursuing. And I was shocked. I'm like, really? You could do that? Wow.
Right.
Okay. It's all in my own head. Why couldn't I do that?
No, you're right. No, you're right. That's a great point. That's a great point. In closing, the last question, pretty straightforward, you know, because I know you got Strategic Momentum Podcast. So tell us about all the great, exciting things that you got going on. I know you got a book. So, you know, just tell us, you know, what can we anticipate from you? Tell us about the book, all these great things you got going on.
Well, so I guess I'll start with the book that just launched 2 months ago. And that has been really a mission driven effort to share a different perspective about the future of work and what it means for careers and what to do about it. Because to me, the narrative that has been out there really isn't from the perspective about what's happening to the individual. The narrative around future of work was very much about technology or remote work or information to help a company. But I think a lot of individuals are trying to figure out what they want to do, what they want to be, to be their best selves. So it was very much about getting a perspective out there that helps people realize that, you know, if you've been taking a nonlinear journey, there's nothing wrong with you. There's a reason as to why.
True.
And it's probably leading to a combination of you building what I call a career mashup, which is what you've done for you.
Right.
That combination of skills, interests, and so forth. So that at the end of the day, because what everybody wants is this ability to be fulfilled and reflect all of themselves. And in today's world, I think going into the future, we all know that if we compartmentalize and we only just focus on one thing, we're not ever fully happy. So that's how do you actually express and work on multiple things potentially? And how does that come together so that you're exercising all these different facets that make you whole and that interest you and that you're growing in that way? So it's continually sharing the message out there would be, you know, sort of that future. On the Strategic Momentum Podcast, it's sharing more of those stories that will be coming up, including yours. But it's giving different examples of how people have navigated their career differently, and even showing some examples of companies that have done that differently. And then really continuing to be able to tell other companies' stories through the consulting firm, which is Flywheel Associates, and Strategic Momentum is the podcast side of things. But for me, it's about helping people and the companies they work for reach their growth potential. And it's really supporting both sides because companies are made up of individuals. And if you don't understand what individuals need and how to best support them, you're really never going to get to an optimized company environment and culture. And I think you always have to bridge the gap between the two. So for me, it's about helping both, just in different ways.
That's amazing, Connie. That's amazing. Well, you know, we truly appreciate you taking the time today. And I think you gave so much knowledge and so much insight. And I know the listeners, they're really going to appreciate this. So, you know, once again, just thank you for taking the time today. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for, again, giving me this chance to talk to you and have so much fun sharing a point of view.
Of course. Well, look, you know, I know you're going to continue to do great things. So down the road, we're definitely going to have you back on because I know you're probably going to have more books coming out and all kind of stuff you're doing. So we gotta stay in the loop, you know, with what you got going on. So, you know, once again, we appreciate you.
And I gotta stay in the loop with you too, because we know, you know, you're gonna continue to build and build and build, and you've got a lot of different things that you're working on. So I look forward to your growing success too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really appreciate it, Connie. So, you know, we appreciate you, and yeah, we'll definitely catch up again soon.
Thank you.
Anytime. And once again, this is Kyle Hunter on the Diagnosis Success Podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. And as always, stay motivated, dedicated, and true to yourself. Take care.
Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, not giving up, that's how I give it up. That's how I give it up.